cannot tell it all. Jehovah, for he has done so very much for me. What shall I render to Jehovah, for he has done so very much for me? Sing with me, Nara.
Nara, Nara, eh, Nara, kele, Nara, kele, mo.
Nara,
Nara.
Praise you, Lord. Sing to the top. He's done so much for me. Oh, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all.
Yeah.
in every distress. I call upon you, God. I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you.
Lord, you speed to fly. You speed.
Grant us supernatural speed. The kind of speed that you gave to your prophet that overtook the chariots of Ahab. Even with Ahab having a head start. Lord, grant us supernatural speed in this hour. At this time, we thank you, Lord, O God, for this day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. We come before you with thanksgiving. We surrender our lives to you. We come with expectant faith, trusting you for the workings of redemption, for the forgiveness of all sins. Thank you, Lord, that you've atoned for us. And Lord, you have given us an elevated status. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Father, for the price of our redemption. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for every one of you here tonight. Tonight we are going to seek the face of God. When one is building, if you build in with bricks, you lay a brick over another, and that's how the building comes up. This evening before I came, I decided to bring my special cup. And I filled it with water. It was empty when I say filling it. But when water went into it, it wasn't full. It was getting filled. And then it became full. Every day God gives to us to come into his presence is an act of grace in which he is infilling us and steadily building us up. We become an edifice, a structure of God. And he's building us up for a reason. So that we can represent him. He's building us up so that we can have the capacity to handle his awesome power. God intends for us not to remain the same way we are, but to manifest himself in us and through us. When we talk about Yom Kippur, we're talking about God atoning for us. Some may say the word atonement is at-one-ment. If you were to separate the word atonement, A-T, at, O-N-E, one, M-E-N-T, ment, at-one-ment. That's a very smart way of looking at it. But the word is the word in the Old Testament, kafah. Kafah. And it means to cover over. It means to pacify. It means to get God to calm down, so to speak. Because God is holy. And he has no place for unholiness in him. He doesn't tolerate it. So when preachers preach about God tolerates sin, it's a big fat lie. It does not. God hates sin, that he demanded death for it. But recognizing that he loves us so much as he loves himself, he decided to be the one who pays the price for our redemption. But judgment has to come on sin. The word of God says, for this reason, the wrath of God is revealed amongst the children of disobedience. So when we read from the word of God, Isaiah 53 and verse 5, for example, will say something like this to us, that he was wounded for our transgressions. That is really fast, thank you. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, my peace, your peace, the chastisement was bestowed upon him, bestowed upon his son, whom he loves. So Jesus took the chastisement so I can have peace. And then he says, and with his stripes, the stripes that he bore, we are healed. Peter says, and by his stripes we were, past tense, healed. At this time of atonement, we need to remind ourselves about all of those things that Jesus had done for us. When he shed his blood, he went into the heavens, having defeated the hordes of hell, having received the victory, he ascended into the heavens, and he placed his shed blood on the Ark of the Covenant that was in the heavens. Now, in the earth realm, the high priest will sprinkle the blood of the bulls for the high priest on the mercy seat. And on that mercy seat, and we have the Ark of the Covenant, and I believe most likely this is the only one like that in all the earth, in all the world. Because it doesn't look really nice. Because on that, if you can point to it, good, thank you. On that, you have the cherubim. Now, the cherubim are a particular creature, angelic creature, not the same as seraphims. These are cherubims. Now, with the cherubim, it had four heads or four faces to one head. On the right side, it has the face of a lion. On the left side, it had the face of an ox or a bull, an ox. On the front, it had the face of a man. On the back, it had the face of an eagle. Are we together so far? When the Lord asked me to have the ark, he said, I want you to do it the way it really should look. Not just with the face of a man, like you see the Ark of the Covenant is primarily the face of a man. But the cherubim didn't just have a face of a man, it had those four faces. Now, since the cherubim in the front has the face of a man, and they're looking down, by the very fact that it is looking down, it's looking down at the mercy seat. The mercy seat. It is on that mercy seat that the blood of atonement was sprinkled. Inside that ark were three primary things. There was the Ten Commandments inside the ark. There was manna. And then there was the rod of Aaron. Now, those three things are important in this wise. And I'll come back to the cherubim. The Ten Commandments represents the everlasting structure of the Word of God. The Word of God shall not pass away. Jesus, our Lord, tells us over and over again, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So whatever God said is what God meant, and it will always be the word of God. It was inside that ark. Then there was the manna. The manna was supposed to last only for one day, except when it came to the Sabbath day, then it will last for 2 days, or else it will go rotten. And the idea is, every day we need to embrace the word of God. Now, that manna was in the ark and has been in the ark and has never gone rotten. Everlasting. Then there was Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod that budded. It didn't need photosynthesis. It didn't need soil. It didn't need anything. It was just a rod. But because he was chosen, God caused his rod to bud. And not only did it bud and flower, it bore fruit and exposed the true identity of that rod, that it was an almond rod because it bore almond fruit. Amen? Why is that important to us? Well, Jeremiah tells us that very declaration has to do with the authority that God had invested in him as a chosen one. All of that is inside that ark, but on top of that was mercy. The mercy seat on which the blood was shed. Now, in the Old Testament, Atonement was to pacify, was to cover, was to, let me use the word, calm God down from his wrath. But when we come to the New Testament, the word atonement is a different word. It is the word katalage. Katalage. And katalage is a word that was used primarily in the marketplace for exchange of currency, for the weighting of things. So money changers will do katalage and exchange things for equivalent value. Equivalent value. Say that, equivalent value. Okay. Now let's understand that. Equivalent value. Atonement, equivalent value. Would you say that Jesus is God? We'll accept that. And that will be the truth. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word of God. And he's God. And he created all things. And in him, all things do consist of the things in the heavens, the things in the earth, whether they be visible or invisible. He's all in all. So now, he comes and he redeems you and I, he purchases you and I from the slave market, because we're all slaves in the slave market. And he comes and he pays the price of his life for my life. And he is God. So, in that exchange, he gave me the value of God. Do you understand that? So, the value of himself he gave to me to retrieve me from the slave market. So, in the New Testament, it's not just about covering. It's about redemption. It's about a status change. Praise the Lord. There's a status change. And God, in that status change, gave me the status of God. God recreated me with a God mindset. Praise God. Now we, every one of us, need to be very aware of this. Because it is in that that we are renewed in the thinking, in our minds. We exchange our natural mind for his mind. We are no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer subject to sin. Agent in the agency of darkness, we are now sons of the Most High God. We belong to God. And it is to his directives that we must align our lives. The devil wants me to think that I am not all that God says I am. And that is a mindset that I, every one of us, need to resist on a daily basis. When the enemy speaks We have the right to say it is written. It is written. I am redeemed, and I say so. I am forgiven. I am the chosen of the Lord. I am born of an incorruptible seed. If it is incorruptible, it is incorruptible. And if it is incorruptible, then this incorruptible seed will produce an incorruptible fruit. I am not corruptible. Can we say that? I'm not corruptible. This is the language of faith, of us aligning ourselves with what God says. Let it be unto me according to thy word, O Lord. That's what Mary said, who birthed Jesus. And that's what we say to manifest Jesus. Let me say that again. What Mary said, who birthed Jesus, in essence, manifested the God of the universe in earthly form. That's what we also say to manifest Jesus in earthly form. Do we understand that? Let it be unto me according to thy word. I live not by sight. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to embrace all that God is. And remember, we are forgiven and we are redeemed with a price. What price? The price of God. Many years ago, led by the Spirit of God, gave a teaching. Some of you will remember this. I'm sure you will. In that teaching, I talked about the price of my salvation. And the Lord brought me by His Spirit to an understanding of this bargain that took place. It was plain in front of me. God bargaining for me, for you, for us, because the devil had rights over our lives, and God wanted us. And the only thing that the devil did not have, which he deeply desired for the price of redemption, was that he did not have the throne. So it was a bargain for the throne of God. You want them? Yes. Okay. The only way you're going to have them is you're going to have to wage at the throne. If Jesus comes, he has to come as a man, just like the other Adam. No extras. If I defeat him, I get the throne. Agreed? Yeah. And if you defeat it, then you have to let them all go. Yeah. So Jesus came and was tempted in every possible way. All of his life. Tempted with any possible temptation that anybody will ever go through. And the Bible says he's a high priest that is very aware of what temptation and sin is all about, but he did not sin. He lived uprightly. Even when God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," there comes the devil. If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread. You just fall down from this pinnacle, and he's going to send his angels, and they're going to just catch you. You bow down to me, and I'll give you everything. And with everything that the enemy brought, he had a response, and the response was the word of God. And do you think that you are going to overcome the enemy by just your thoughts? Or is it still by the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit? The atonement of God brings us to a place of divine wholeness. So Jesus battled the enemy, defeated him, but that lying devil, just like Goliath and the Philistines, they never keep to the deal. So Jesus still had to go to hell, take the keys off of the devil, defeated them, made a public show of them, the book of Colossians says. Took us with him, took the saints that had died, took them all with him out of hell, or the compartment called paradise in hell, took them up. And the fact is, the devil should have stopped tempting anybody. Stopped persecuting, stopped all of that. God knew the devil was a liar. But he had to deal with him from a very legal perspective. I make the deal, I get them. And so the word of God says that Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Everybody has been called to salvation. Everybody has been atoned for. And as men, we need to look at the mercy seat. And when you're looking at the mercy seat, your back is looking up into the heavens like the eagle. You take flight. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount on wings like eagles. When we wait on God, when we seek the face of God, when we look at the mercy seat, we take flight. We rise up. We become that one that God says we are in him. That's a powerful place. The problem is, too many times we do not attain what God says in his word. We do not appreciate the fact that God has reconciled us to himself. The word is katazo. And it implies that God has laid aside his wrath. He's withdrawn the judgment because he's placed the judgment on Jesus. He placed the judgment on him, on himself. Jesus, our Lord, said, "He that giveth me to you, he has the greater sin." But he was not talking about the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or whoever. He was talking about the Father, who, you see, when we read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We only think about Jesus. But God the Father was engaged in this because that throne was on the line. And God had to have faith in Jesus, his Son, that Jesus was going to do the right thing. God still has that faith. He has that faith in you and in me that we will do the right thing, that we'll stand for him and represent him well, especially since Jesus has come and taken possession of our hearts. Do we disappoint? Or do we honor him in worship? It says, God is seeking those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Does God trust me? My trust is demonstrated by my obedience. When you say something to me, am I willing to obey and do what he says, no matter how tough it is? Because obedience sometimes is not easy. Obedience takes sacrifice. Am I willing to sacrifice? Why is that important? Well, every seed is to produce after its kind. And if the sacrifice of Jesus is a seed, then the fruit from that seed has to be sacrificed. God so agaped the world. Then, not because we were deserving of it, he just loved us, period. Not because we did anything, he just loved us. And he demonstrated the reality of that love when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Jesus had not done one miracle yet. So I'm very well pleased with him. That's agape. I just love him, period. Now, Jesus had to leave that out. But leaving that out was an act of the will. God does not mess with the will. The will is what it is. It's just that, the will to choose. I give that to you because you are not a robot. You are not artificial intelligence. You are a person. And I give you this all-encompassing power to choose me or decide for yourself not to have me. I give you that power. It's all yours. Now, having received that power, I make the decision. I want you in my life. I appreciate and I'm thankful for what you've done for me. The manifestation of the divine purpose of God and your surrender to that is expressed in your thanksgiving to God. Lord, I thank you. I give you my life. I surrender to you completely. You are Lord and sovereign over my life, Father. I surrender my will to you. In fact, I give you total permission to invade my will and tell me and empower me to do the right thing. Even if it means you dragging me until I understand what you are doing. I need you. Because this will of mine, while it is mine, needs to be broken. The ox needs to be broken, or it will keep on bumping. The lion, the king of the jungle, so to speak, is going to be roaring. But everything needs to be brought to order. What do these cherubims, what are they doing? They're declaring the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy. Because they're seeing something new every day about God that they've not seen before. They're seeing the manifestation of the mercies of God. They're seeing men acting crazy and God still loving them. While we have life, we have the opportunity to continue to express and to live out a changed life. No one of us should give up on ourselves or on somebody else. I would give up on a soul. Say, this guy is crazy. But God doesn't give up on his soul. He sees a Paul. He sees a transformed life. He doesn't give up on Peter. He sees a transformed life. If God has not given up on you, then I must say, you must not give up on yourself. Amen? Change is possible because of the perfect will of God. He's our present help. He's not an absentee father. He is our present help, even in the time of trouble. And no matter what the enemy tries to push on us, God is the God who is strengthening us on the inside. To be strengthened in your inner man. Let me go to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter. Let me look at about the 15th verse. Might take it from the 14th, if possible. It says, yeah, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven, the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Remember, we all sinned and we all fell short of the glory of God. But here Paul is saying that God will grant to you and I a grant according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Pray this prayer with me. Father, strengthen me with your might, by your Spirit in my inner man, because of the grant of the riches of your glory. Glory of God, strengthen me now. Kabosha katayala. Glory of God strengthening me, strengthening you in our inner, in our core, the core of our being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, this is crucial, that Christ may dwell. See, there are lots of believers in whom Christ is not dwelling by faith. They're not dwelling, he's not dwelling in them by faith, because they've not been rooted and grounded in love. You cannot say you're a Christian and not walk in love. The absence of love is the absence of manifestation. Faith worketh by love. When we love, it is because we've been strengthened by the riches of his glory in our inner man, by the Spirit, by the Word of God. By the word of God that we have obeyed. When we do not obey the word of God, Christ is not able. Notice that Christ may. Dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height. I find that very scripture very interesting, because it says What is the breath? Which has to do with width. And length, which has to do with length. And then it says, and depth, which has to do with height. And height. What is the depth? The depth is what you don't see. The height is what is visible to you. But the thing about the depth, you can have this structure, and this is the height. And the depth might just be this, because it is filled with all of something else. So that's the only depth. What does God not want the devil to know? God does not want the devil to know the depth of your relationship with him. Shows him the whole thing. While he's busy working on the inside to get you deeper and deeper and deeper in him. Capish? Only God knows. Not even you know. Because there are things that I think I will not be able to do. And I find, by God's grace, I did that. I didn't know I had that in me. But God knew, because he's been busy working at it. Day by day, he's working on me. He's fashioning me in his image and likeness. He's digging up all the dirt. Not to condemn me, he's digging up all that dirt and siphoning it out so that there's more room. You know, John got it when he said, he must increase and I decrease. In my decrease is increase. It is not more power that I need. It is more manifestation of him that I need. And during this time, we've got to move away everything that is standing against the knowledge of God. All the imaginations. Everything standing in the way. God, take it away and help me to become more and more like you. Not only do we get to comprehend with all sense what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, he says, and to know the love of Christ, the anointed one, which passeth knowledge. That ye, in this state that passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So, in one sense, we have the need of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And God says, I'm going to take you past knowledge. Because if you stay in the realm of what you know, even though the knowing of God causes you to do exploits, he says, I want to get you to the place where you go past knowledge. Because that's the place where the fullness of God comes in. In that place, we operate like God operates. Because knowledge no longer limits us. You see, knowledge limits me. Knowledge limits you. Knowledge says, if I want to go to Nigeria right now, I need to go buy a ticket. That's what knowledge says. Knowledge says, if I'm going to be well nourished, I have to eat so many meals. That's what knowledge says. Knowledge says all kinds of things. If I'm going to build something that's going to go to the moon, I have to go to this university and learn all this quantum physics and whatever else for that to happen. That's what knowledge says. But past knowledge with the fullness of God, the world might say I'm illiterate, but I'm doing amazing things. Do we understand? The world says, for you to get from point A to point B, you've got to have this kind of a car, this kind of a vehicle, a ship, or whatever. Or you want to cross this river, you've got to have a boat, you've got to have a ship. Beyond knowledge, the fullness of God, you just walk on water. Because you're not thinking that you're going to sink. You don't have that mindset of failure. The atonement brings us to that place. The first Adam named all the animals and everything that God presented before him. Just like that. Just like that. Inside this head and this brain, if I were to be able to use just what God has given to me here in my brain, the different wavelengths happening in here, all kinds of things can happen in this place right this very moment. Beyond knowledge means the capacity to pause time. Shut it down. They're taking Jesus to shove him off a cliff. He pauses time, turns around and walks away and unpauses time. And they say, well, where is he? Beyond knowledge. The atonement brings us to that place where we look at the mercy seat and we take flight like the eagle. We shall see the manifestation. We shall walk in this grace. If that seems to be too much, watch this. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if what I'm thinking about right now, about knowledge, if that is way off, God says, I can do more than that. There's nowhere you can go wild about the awesomeness of God. And God says, I'll do more than that. You think you can this? I'll do more than that. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work it in us. Now, all of that, not to our glory, because without him we can do nothing. Unto him be glory. Where? In the church. The church. We, the body of Christ. It is us that he needs to move in and through. It is in him that we live, move, and have our being. We are not called to limitation. We're called to manifest all that he is. Be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God wants to do extraordinary things in us and with us. And this day, may we embrace the fullness of his goodness and say yes to God and his perfect will. Amen? Tonight, I want you to find somebody to partner with, and I want you to speak prophetically over their lives. Speak the blessing of God into them. And as you bless them, God will multiply the blessings in your life. Let me put it this way, 1,000-fold. Amen? So if you want little blessing, then bless little. If you want humongous blessings, then pray the prayer of blessing. Be into it for them. God, I want you to do this for my sister. I want you to do this for my brother. I want you to use their lives powerfully. I want you to cause breakthroughs, meet their financial needs, heal their marriage, whatever it is that you want to pray. Find somebody and lock arms with them. And when you pray, pray one person at a time. You know, take 2-3 minutes, one person pray, and then the other person is answering amen, and then the other person begins to pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you find a partner? Good. All right. So one person starts and prays, and when you finish, the other person prays. In essence, I want each person to hear what the other person is praying so that it can come into agreement with it. And if you feel that you didn't pray all that you needed to pray, then pray again. Hallelujah. When to stop? Oh, okay. 1, 2, 3, go. Pray. Prophetic declarations. Oh God, and honor their prayers. Every prayer filtered by the atoning precious blood of Jesus. Kadi Malato Shakaya. Every prayer covered by the atoning presence of your Spirit. Mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God, only that which is of you comes forth out of their mouths. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, I bless your sons and your daughters here in this sanctuary, those that are in their homes streaming. Lord, those in their vehicles streaming. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, honor your name. Honor your name and do extraordinary things, O God, with your people. We call upon you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Help of the helpless. Do extraordinary things with us. Extraordinary things. We call your will to be manifested now. In the mighty name of Jesus, manifest your glory. Manifest your glory, Father. Manifest your glory, Father. Manifest your glory out of the riches of your glory. Oh, Lord, let your abiding presence bring about a strengthening of our inner man. God, that you might abide in us. Transformation, sir. Ikaladaba shantorobo kosahi. Kitaladadaba santaka. Shambremodo kurama tukahi. Kitatadabarabasha. Kitalaboro kotosoko. Shantalemanamatokayane. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Get ready to swap. If you've not swapped positions, you can do so now. The other person can begin to pray. And if you've already swapped already and you feel you need to pray some more, take the time to pray some more. Amen. Whatever their needs are. May the God of miracles honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. May God do great things in every life. If you feel led to go pray with somebody else and speak into their lives prophetically, you can do so also. Everything is going through the precious blood of Jesus. Nothing that is outside the will of God is going to go through to the other person. There's a great filtering everything that has been said and proclaimed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, praise the Lord. Now, I want you to take your time to now pray for this church and the body of Christ at large. That we will come into our place in a speedified fashion, that we'll all rise up to our divine destiny and purpose in Christ, that this body of Christ will flourish and blossom and accomplish the will of God speedily, that every limitation be eradicated immediately, beyond knowledge, that we move in the speed of light, in the speed of God. Hallelujah. Pray for your church. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, build your church, the church that the gates of hell will never and can never prevail over, the church that goes by the authority of your word, binding forces of darkness and setting captives free. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that your church is alive in you with resurrection life. Lord, oh God, it is not limitable. It is born of an incorruptible seed. cannot be corrupted. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, every slandering spirit is demolished and brought to naught. Every spirit of insincerity eradicated and brought to naught. Lord, oh God, the purity of your presence, oh God, is causing your people to rise up in a magnificent way to declare the Lord is the Lord, the God of all the earth. He reigns supreme. Father, we thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we become the mighty force moving in the world to declare your kingdom come and your will done in the earth. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for Glory and Peace Church, that it's taken its rightful place amongst, O God, your church, fulfilling your mandate as it relates to the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for every other church, wherever your name is called. O Father, raise up, O God, men and women by your Spirit who will stand in righteousness and in truth, even in this month of commanded rising and raising. We rise and we are raised up to fulfill your divine mandate. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here and participating in this very special meeting of Yom Kippur. Today is the last day of this, the most holy day in the calendar. This week coming on the 6th through the 16th, we will be having, or 13th, what did I say? Huh? 16th, oh, okay. Who knows? Well, it is 6th to the 13th. We're going to be having the Abiding Grace meetings. Going to have other men of God bringing a word to us during these days. And towards the end of the month, we're going to have, by the grace of God, Apostle Paul Ame with us in person. He's a strong prophetic voice God is using. I have enjoyed his prophetic grace personally so many times. And he's a true man of God. And nonetheless, these three men, Bishop Akintoye Sam Jolly from Sierra Leone. We've had a minister from Sierra Leone before, Archbishop Cole, a man specialized in the aspect of spiritual warfare, and he's been a blessing to us. And I'd love to have him here someday in person. Anyway, Bishop Sam Jolly is going to be with us. And another dear son of ours, Apostle Daniel Matiola, a very strong voice, is going to be speaking to us from London. So it's going to be a very international gathering of saints. And 7 days straight, I sense in my spirit there possibly might be a surprise guest. When I was putting this together, I had this sense in my spirit that there's somebody that God has not revealed yet to me, and that is going to be a surprise guest. So I wait to hear who that person is. And so, anyhow, that's all coming. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let's give that seed. The Word of God says He'll multiply our seed sown. And tells us that during this feast, we should not come empty-handed. We should give generously to the Lord and to His purpose. God is building His church. And He says we are living stones. So He builds His church with us. Amen? And if you are online, the instruction on how you can give that way will be placed on the screen momentarily, so you can exercise that grace in your life to give that wise. And tomorrow is prayer meeting. Praise God. It's a prayer meeting. And so be present to participate in this prayer meeting. And with that, I'll say bye to those on Facebook and YouTube and other platforms. Now turn to those that are